Such mourning will also be considered to be reprehensible and not permissible in Islam. The next point, to regard the happenings in the world to be due to the influence of stars. This is also a type of shirk, incorrect. To ask about auspicious and inauspicious days and dates. This is also incorrect to attribute, besides that which have been mentioned in the ahadith concerning certain nights, certain days which are auspicious. But to attribute this to any other dates and days is incorrect. To ask astrologers and those people afflicted with jinns, matters of the unseen. To ask these people about the ghaib, matters of the unseen, is also a type of shirk. To take evil omens. To regard any month as unlucky. To recite a particular saint's name as a wazifa. As we take Allah Ta'ala's name and read it as a wazifa. To recite now a particular saint's name like that, this is also shirk. To utter, if Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wish, it will happen. Where you are joining Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wish also to Allah's wish, to say such words is incorrect. That in the footnote, if this is said with regards to Allah alone, it will be correct. If a person says it, if Allah wills, it will happen. There is no problem in there. But to say if Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wills, then so and so thing will happen, this is not correct. The next one, to take an oath in someone's name. To call someone the king of kings is also incorrect. To keep photographs, especially the photographs of pious people for blessings and to honor it, this is also incorrect, also a type of a shirk. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 16th para was recited. The first three rukus of the 16th para is the continuation and completion of Suratul Kahf. Towards the end of the 15th para, from the second last ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of an incident which continues in the first ruku of the 16th para also. And that is the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's meeting with Khadir alayhi salam, the circumstances of this incident as mentioned in the hadith is that once Musa alayhi salatu wasalam addressing the Bani Israel, one of the Bani Israel, his nation, asked the question, is there anybody more knowledgeable than you? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned no. And his answer was correct in the sense that the Nabi of the time is the most knowledgeable from amongst all his people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked this answer because the etiquette was that he attributes the answer to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should have answered that Allah ta'ala knows best. Because certain persons like Khadir alayhi salam were granted such knowledge which Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was not granted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wa salam that go and meet Khadir alayhi salam. And you will see that we have granted him that type of knowledge which you do not possess. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also informed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam where he will meet Khadir alayhi salam, the place where the two seas meet, and a sign for that also was mentioned that take a fish with you, and when that fish comes back to life and slips into the water, that is the place where you will meet Khadir alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam sets out on that journey together with his attendant, a young boy, and a young man by the name of Yusha alayhi salam. Afterwards he was given Nabuwat, he became a Nabi of the time also. And they set out on the journey, they are resting at some place, Musa alayhi salam is asleep, and Yusha sees the fish coming back to life and going into the water, and that also in a very astonishing way. When it went into the water, it left like a tunnel, the sign of a tunnel. We all know if something drops into the water, immediately the water closes up after that thing has fallen into the water. But here, the surrounding water from the place where the fish went into the sea remained still, and it was like a tunnel had formed in the water. Anyway, Yusha alayhi salam thought that I will tell Musa alayhi salam of this incident when he gets up. But when Musa alayhi salam got up, he forgot to mention it, and they continued their journey. Musa alayhi salam then experiences very much tiredness, which up till now he did not experience. Anyway, they rest again, and Musa alayhi salam calls for the food to be brought. And then Yusha alayhi salam remembers the incident. Musa alayhi salatu salam tells him, hey, that was the place where we had to meet Khadir alayhi salam. They retrace their steps and they see a person sitting at that same spot who was Khadir alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salatu salam then requests him to stay in his company so that he can also learn from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him knowledge of. Khadir alayhi salam tells Musa alayhi salam that you will never be able to remain patient with me. You will never be able to now bear with me. Why? Because the knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Khadir alayhi salam was of a different type to that which Musa alayhi salam was granted. Khadir alayhi salam was granted the knowledge of takween, which is called ilme takweeni. Ilme takweeni is the knowledge of the realm of the creation where concerning the management of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are enforced. Contrary to that, Musa alayhi salam was given the knowledge of shariat, which is called ilme tashri'i, where things, which what is permissible, what is not permissible. To understand it further, it is that things, what we see around us, are all the external forms of things. And the laws of shariat are connected to the external. And then behind the veils of this external, there is that which is now the internal, which is hidden behind the screen of the external. That knowledge, that is not bound by the laws of shariat. And normally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigns the responsibility of enforcing His laws in the form of ilme takweeni to the angels. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also selects some of His bandas for this ilme takweeni. And Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam was one of them who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted this knowledge. Khadir alayhi salam knew that Musa alayhi salam, he will see everything in the light of the laws of shariat, and I will be doing things in the light of ilme takweeni, which many a time will be contrary and in conflict with ilme tashri'i. That is why from the beginning he told Musa alayhi salam, you won't last long with me. You won't be able to now stay with me. You will always be objecting to what I am doing, because you will be seeing everything in the light of the laws of shariat. But anyway, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam insists that no, he wants to stay in his company, and he says that inshallah you will find me patient and I will not disobey you in any matter. Thereafter they carry on, and the first incident then mentioned is that they board a ship, and that ship, the people of the ship recognized Khadir alayhi salam, and they allowed them to take a ride on the ship without any charge. But on boarding the ship, Khadir alayhi salam with Musa alayhi salam, Khadir alayhi salam then damages this ship, and he takes out, dislodges some planks and makes the ship defective. Obviously Musa alayhi salam could not understand this. He immediately objected. What's wrong? These people are doing us a favor. They are not charging us, and yet you are doing this to the ship. Khadir alayhi salatu salam immediately tells him, didn't I say you won't be able to remain patient with me? Musa alayhi salam says, don't take me to task for what I have forgotten. I forgot that I have taken the promise that I won't object and I won't ask any questions. But anyway, don't take me to task. In other words, give me another chance. They carry on, they see a young boy. Khadir alayhi salam kills him. A young boy, innocent young boy, and Khadir alayhi salam just kills the boy. Where could Musa alayhi salatu wasalam tolerate this? Immediately he says, how can you just kill an innocent young child, and that also not in retaliation for any crime which he had committed? And now what you have did is shay'an nukra, very evil thing you have did. How can you take the life of somebody like this? Again, Khadir alayhi salam reminded him, I told you, you'll never be able to remain patient with me. Anyway, they carry on that. Musa alayhi salam says, okay, if I ask you anything again, one more chance. As students, we all know, we always ask you for last chance. So Musa alayhi salam says, okay, give me one more chance. If I ask anything again, object to anything again, then you can tell me not to stay with you, because then you would have reached the point of excuse. Anyway, the third incident mentioned here is they reach a town, the people of the town refuse to host Musa and Khadir alayhi salam, despite them being in need of hospitality to be shown to them. And then Khadir alayhi salam sees a wall which is on the verge of collapsing. Khadir alayhi salam fixes the wall up, makes it straight again. On that Musa alayhi salam said, at least you could have charged them a fee. These people are so inconsiderate. We are travelers, they are not showing any hospitality to us, and yet you do them this favor of fixing up their wall. On that, Khadir alayhi salam says, now it is the point of separation, now you cannot stay with me anymore. Hada firaku baini wa baini. And then he explains the reasons why he did each of those three actions. The first one, damaging that ship, Khadir alayhi salam explains that this was their only livelihood. They used to transport passengers, charge them a fee, they had no other source of income. And further downstream, there was a king that used to seize any ship he used to come across. But if he sees that it is damaged, he will not take it. So, I just damaged it outwardly to protect their ship and also their source of livelihood. The second incident concerning the child which I had killed, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with the child with pious and mu'min parents. But this child was destined for kufr in the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there was fear out of the love of the child would subdue his parents in transgression and kufr. In other words, would have taken his parents also into kufr, which was against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed. Therefore, he was put to death. And the third, and further on that same point, Khadir alayhi salam mentioned that it was Allah's will that Allah replace him with better offspring, which will be more pure and more kind and compassionate. Then the third incident concerning the wall, there was a treasure buried under the wall which belonged to two orphans. If that wall had to collapse, that treasure would have been exposed and people would have usurped the possession and wealth of the orphans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to safeguard that treasure for those orphans, that once they grow up, then they will retrieve that treasure on their own. That is why he says, I fixed up the wall. And then Khadir alayhi salam tells Musa alayhi salam, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. Whatever I did not do on my own accord. It was the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you could not understand. So this is the incident which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here. Many, many lessons and many, many things have been extracted from this incident, which the ulama have now written in many booklets, and they have mentioned it. The next incident is concerning Dhul Qarnayn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ Dhul Qarnayn. This was one of the questions which the mushrikeen had posed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the informing of the Ahle Kitab, Jews of Medina, to test the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the mention of this is made here. Dhul Qarnayn, he was a powerful king and a righteous, pious and mu'min king who ruled the east and west of that time. And who was Dhul Qarnayn? Actually, what was his name? This hasn't been mentioned clearly in the Quran and Majid. People have given some opinions of theirs. Some say he was the great Alexander the Great, as he is called. But this is incorrect, because he was a Greek who was a polytheist, whose advisor was Aristotle, who was also not a mu'min. And the Dhul Qarnayn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of in the Quran and Majid was a mu'min. So this is incorrect to say that he was Alexander the Great, who is known as Alexander the Great. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many of his travels to the east and the west. And then the third one, to a place which was situated between two mountains. A nation decided there, they complained to Dhul Qarnayn that behind this mountain there is a very rebellious and very evil type of a nation by the name of Ya'juj Ma'juj. They constantly invade and attack us, and we are subject to many of the evils, and build a wall between the two mountains so that we can be protected from the invasions and attacks. So Dhul Qarnayn then builds a solid wall between those two mountains to protect them. Concerning this, we mentioned in the hadith that till near Qiyamah, this wall will remain intact, but then a time will come when this wall will crumble and disintegrate, and then the fitna of Yajuj Majuj will then occur on the world, and they will plunder and cause great corruption on the earth. These things have been mentioned in under the major signs of Qiyamah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the end of Surah Al-Kahf mentions concerning the kuffar, those who do good actions which they think they will be rewarded for in the year after. But in the year after, they will see that all their actions in this world, because they did not possess iman, was completely worthless. In the last ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. That those who have firm conviction concerning their meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should do righteous deeds and not associate any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his ibadat. The ulama explained that the reference here is being made to shirk-e-khafi. Shirk-e-khafi, the minor shirk, and the minor shirk, it means riya. Riya means to do actions for show. That whenever we do any action, any ibadat, it should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any intention of showing others. Further on in the next surah, Surah Maryam, as the name suggests, the incident of Maryam alayhi salam is mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah refutes many of the wrong beliefs of the of the mushrikeen and the kuffar, and also mentions the incidents of many anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. The incident of Zakariya alayhi salam is mentioned here, which was mentioned in the third para already. Maryam alayhi salam, who was dedicated for the service of deen, was placed in the custody of Zakariya alayhi salam. He seen out of season fruits by her. On that, the urge to make dua for offspring came into his mind, and he made the dua. But he made the dua, three things he mentioned here. First, his weakness. Inni wahana al-'azmu minni washta'ala ar-ra'su shayba. My bones have become weak and brittle, and my hair has turned white. In other words, I'm not of that age to bear any children anymore. And then the second one, walam akum bidu'aika rabbi shaqiyya. Whenever I made dua to you, O Allah Ta'ala, I was always successful. My duas were not rejected. And I want to make a dua at this time. And the third point he mentions is that I want to, I'm asking for an heir, a son who will be my heir, but the yarithuni wa yarithu min ali Yaqub, not for any worldly reasons, but for deeni reasons, so after me, the work of propagation of deen can continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a son, despite his very old age of 120 years. His wife was barren and old also, 98 years. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them a son, Yahya alayhi salam, who was granted nabuwat also, and his qualities and attributes have also been mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions further details of the same incident, that he asked that, how will this happen? I am so old. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, no, in your old age, and your wife, not you have to take on a new young wife. No, the same woman will bear the child, Yahya alayhi salam, and the time she conceives, the sign of it is that you will not be able to speak to people for 3 days. And this is exactly what happened, and eventually Yahya alayhi salam was born. The next incident is of Maryam alayhi salam and the birth of Isa alayhi salam in a miraculous way without the agency of a father. This also was mentioned in the third para, but there are more details mentioned here in the 16th para, that when she was about to give birth, then she went out of the town for fear, what are the people going to say? I'm not married and I'm getting a child. They will accuse me of all things. So she goes out of the town. The ulama explained she went approximately 8 kilometers out of Baytul Muqaddas to a place called Baytul Laham, which today is called Bethlehem. Anyway, she goes there, she gives birth there. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made arrangements for her water and also for her food, from that, telling her to shake the tree and all the fresh and nutritious rutab dates will fall, and this will be your food. Then she is still told to go back to her people, and if anybody tries to accuse her of wrong, don't say anything, don't reply, but just make a child. And then Allah Ta'ala miraculously made Isa alayhi salam speak while he was just a newborn child, an infant. He mentioned, Inni Abdullah. I am the son of, I am the banda of Allah Ta'ala, which refutes the claims of the Nasara, who says Isa alayhi salam was Ibnullah, the son of Allah. And then he mentions Allah has given me a kitab, which was revealed later on to him in the form of Injil, and made me a Nabi. So these words which he had mentioned were in a miraculous way to prove the chastity of his mother also, and also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent him as the Abdullah and made him a Nabi. Thereafter Allah ta'ala makes mention of the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how he propagated the message of Haqq and Tawheed to his people. The entire environment was hostile to him. They were all involved and immersed in idol worshipping. With what compassion, kindness and pain of heart he propagated the message of Haqq, despite his own father being so against him and threatening him also. But how, with what kindness and compassion he addresses his father. All these verses are mentioned here over and over. Ya Abati, O my beloved father, O my beloved father. So from the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam, there is great lessons to be learned, especially for the da'i, those who are doing the work of propagation of the deen of Islam, of Tawheed, that how they should be, how, with what wisdom, with what forbearance and patience a person should now have within him, even though he is faced with a very hostile environment. Then the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions very briefly in this surah, but in the next surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail. And in this surah, the name very briefly, the incident of the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and their qualities and attributes have also been mentioned. Then in the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, the next surah is Surah Taha. Taha, the meaning of it Allah ta'ala knows best, although some ulama say it is one of the names of through which Allah ta'ala addresses Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah ta'ala says, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa. We have not revealed the Qur'an to you to put you into any type of difficulty. In the propagation of the message of the Qur'an and also in the recitation of the Qur'an and Majid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to exert himself very greatly. To the extent it comes in the hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read so much in the night salat, tahajjud, that his feet used to also swell up. Allah Ta'ala says, you don't have to now put yourself under so much difficulty and so much pain. We haven't revealed the Quran for that purpose. The Quran is tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. It is an advice and admonishment for those who have the khashiyat and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, in great detail, Allah Ta'ala mentions the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Compared to the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the incident of Musa alayhi salam is mentioned, and his encounters with Fir'aun and his own nation, Bani Israel, are mentioned in much more detail compared to the other Anbiya alayhi salam, and repeated also much more throughout the Quran and Majid compared to the incident of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past. The ulama explained the reasons. Perhaps it is so that people, one is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Hijrat, he encountered mainly the Jews, who were the Bani Israel in Madinatul Munawwara. And in every era, there will normally be some type of a tyrant, like Fir'aun was in the time of Musa alayhi salam. How to now propagate the message of Haqq to such people, and how to persevere when faced with all odds at those instances. So to kindle the spirit of courage and sacrifice, and how to brave the difficulties which you will be encountering when propagating the message of Haqq. That is why so often this incident has been mentioned. It was mentioned previously, the Kitab is not a book, the Quran and Majid is not just a historical book. That is why events are not mentioned in sequence. Here the incident of Musa alayhi salam is also mentioned, but here also not in sequence of occurrence. For example, it starts with the incident when he is returning from Madian, where he had to flee from Egypt to save his life, and he stayed in Madian for 8 to 10 years, married the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam, and when the danger had passed in Egypt, he decided to return to Egypt. So that is mentioned first. And then the conditions of the birth, at the time of the birth of Musa alayhi salam, are mentioned afterwards. Whereas sequence would have been the opposite way. But Quran al-Majid is not a book of just history. It is to give a message. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah's wisdom, things are not mentioned in the normal sequence of occurrence. So anyway, Musa alayhi salam, on his return from Madian, his wife is in labor. It is winter. There is need to get some fire, warmth for the wife. And he sees from a distance what looks to him like fire. Actually, it was the tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants Musa alayhi salatu wasalam nabuwat, and then tells him to go to Fir'aun to propagate the message of Haq and grant him the miracle of the staff and the shining hand. And Allah subhanahu, and then he makes dua for his brother also. He says, my tongue is not very clear, and for as an assistant, send my brother Harun also with me. Allah ta'ala grants Harun alayhi salam also nabuwat, and they are sent to Fir'aun to propagate the message of Haq. Particularly mentioned here is فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنًا. Although he was a great tyrant, so obstinate and so arrogant, but yet they are told to speak to him in a soft way. So this is also a lesson for the da'i, that no matter how hostile the person is, whom you are giving the message of Haq, but speak in a nice and kind and gentle way. This will definitely have more effect. Anyway, Fir'aun refuses to accept the message of Haq. The incident is famous. He regards Musa alayhi salam miracles as magic, and he assembles all the magicians to challenge Musa alayhi salam. But the adverse effect, these magicians, they see that this is not magic, and they also accept Islam. Despite the threats of Fir'aun, they are firm on their iman. Then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, mention is made of after that Allah ta'ala says, take out your nation at night. In other words, away from Egypt. Musa alayhi salam wanted to always take out the Bani Israel from the slavery of the people of Fir'aun and the oppression of them. And they go out at night, and the sea is in front of them. With the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the miracle of Musa alayhi salam, he strikes his staff on the water, and the water splits open and they go through. Fir'aun pursues with his army and they are all drowned. All these incidents are mentioned here. Then the Musa alayhi salam, when he goes to fetch the Torah, in his absence, a person by the name of Samiri, whose name is mentioned here, he misleads the Bani Israel and subjects them to the worship of the calf. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when comes back, he had put Harun alayhi salam as his deputy, gets angry with him. But anyway, that whole incident is mentioned here, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam makes baddu'a for Samiri, that you will go around and you will say La Misas. In other words, nobody can touch you and you can't touch anybody. And if he did happen to touch anybody or somebody touched him, immediately they would be afflicted with a fever. This was his punishment in the dunya. And then towards the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the importance of dhikr, that person who turns away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make his life very constrained and narrow, and he will be brought to life on the day of Qiyamah in a state of blindness. The person who turns away from the dhikr could also maybe mean here the reminder, which is the Quran Majeed. And he will even say, oh Allah, I had sight in the dunya, why am I being brought to life back in a state of blindness? Allah Ta'ala will say that because when our verses reached you, you forgot, and today you will also be forgotten, and you will be put into this type of punishment. In the last page, Allah Ta'ala says, لا تبدلن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا. Don't stretch your eyes to the splendor of the worldly life which we had given to enjoy to the different types of the kuffar. Why? Because لنفتنهم. We want to test them. So affluence is such, doesn't mean it is a favor of Allah Ta'ala and you are now the favorite of Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala likes you, but it is a test. So the order is being given. Don't ever stretch your eyes towards them. Don't look at them with an eye of envy, because it is actually a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wants to test them through this wealth, then how they react. Another verse also mentioned in the last page is that وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. That order your household members concerning salat, and you remain also firm on it. So just as we are obligated to follow the laws of Sharia, similarly we should see those that are under our custody and care, that also remind them and tell them also that they have to now fulfill the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person can't think that I am doing, so let them do what they want to know. It is your obligation and responsibility to also constantly remind them. Allah ta'ala grant us.